Hi there. Thank you for choosing to listen to this sermon. We pray that God would use this as an added resource to benefit you in conjunction with you belonging to a local church near you. This sermon was preached at Central Baptist Church, Pretoria. 130 years of believers loving God, caring for one another, and impacting the world.
Thank you, Tim and the team. It is wonderful to worship the Lord in this song. I want you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 9. And we're going to be looking at a very famous passage. In every kiddie's Bible, we have this story told. It's the feeding of the 5,000. Luke chapter 9, verse 10 to 17. This is what the word of the Lord says. On their return, the apostles told him all that they had done, and he took them and withdrew apart to a town called Bethsaida. When the crowds learned it, they followed him, and he welcomed them and spoke to them of the kingdom of God, and cured those who had need of healing. Now the day began to wear away, and the 12 came and said to him, "Send the crowd away to go into the surrounding villages and countryside to find lodging and get provisions, for we are here in a desolate place." But he said to them, "You give them something to eat." They said, "We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we are to go and buy food for all these people." For there were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50 each." And they did so, and had them all sit down, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing over them. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. And they all ate and were satisfied, and what was left over was picked up, 12 baskets of broken pieces. Lord, again, speak to us through your word. Help us to hear what you are saying to us. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I want, if you have your physical Bibles with you, I want you to maybe open in Matthew 6. Keep your finger in there in Luke chapter 9. But then Matthew 14 from verse 13, and then another finger on Mark chapter 6, and then another finger on John chapter 6. So this is one of the few miracles that appear in all four Gospels. We're using Luke, but I'm going to be kind of referring to the other passages because it helps us. So let me set the scene for you. Jesus had just sent the 12, and he, on their first missionary trip, he said, "You're going to go into the village. You're not going to take anything." And he gave them authority to heal and to drive out demons. And so the disciples go and proclaim the good news to the different villages, and they have been healing people, and they have been driving out demons. And then they come back, and they are all excited. And then you can maybe picture John saying, "Jesus, and I told this lame person, stand up," and they did. And then the person that was deaf, I said, "You know, you can hear in the name of Jesus," and they started hearing my voice. And then Andrew jumps up, "But Jesus, there was this person that was full of demons. And then I prayed for them and the demons came out. And so there is this, they are giving Jesus feedback of what had just happened in this missionary, their first missionary trip. That's what is happening. And then all of a sudden, Jesus said, you know, let's go to a little bit of a desolate place and let's rest. Let's slow down and take rest. But what happened was, some people recognized not just Jesus, but the disciples as well, who had just been healing people and driving out demons. And then in Mark chapter 6, look at what it says there. It says, now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. So the picture is this. Jesus gets into a boat with his disciples. The crowd kind of sees where they are going, and they are running next to the shore, seeing where the disciples are going. And then when the disciples get there with the boat where they're supposed to rest, the crowd is waiting for them. The crowd is waiting for them, not just for Jesus, but also the disciples who had just healed a bunch of them. And so they are literally waiting for them. Jesus is supposed to be resting with his disciples, tell a bit more, a few more stories about what had just happened in their missionary trip. But now there's a crowd waiting for them. What happens next? Which leads me to my first point. Jesus has compassion on them. Jesus has compassion. Now, the Gospel of Luke just uses the word, he welcomes them. Both in Matthew and Mark, the Bible says that Jesus looks at them and he's filled with compassion. And that word in the Greek has the, it's a very strange, it says that it's like the bowels moving. It's something that is deep within, and Jesus is filled with compassion as he sees this crowd. And the reason was because they were like sheep without a shepherd. The Gospel of Mark says they were like sheep without a shepherd. They had just supposed to rest and tell stories, but now there's a crowd waiting for them. And I don't know, probably some of us would be irritated. Okay, we just had this amazing time. We want to tell more stories and we want to rest a little bit, take it easy. And now there's all this crowd, and Jesus does not say, you need to make an appointment. You know, I think some of the disciples had that feeling. I was thinking about it, and some men can relate to this. You know, you get back home from work and you're tired and you're like, sit down. It's like, love, can you take out the trash? You're like, ah. Oh. Of course, of course. They had just had this amazing time of preaching the good news, driving out demons, healing people. They deserve a break. But Jesus looks at them and is filled with compassion, and he welcomes the crowd. He welcomes them. And this is an encouragement to us. There is no bad time to go to Jesus. At any time, he's going to welcome you. Psalm 121 says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Jesus is available 24/7. There is no bad time to go to him because he's going to welcome you. Later on in the same text, Jesus says, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. He's not going to say, not now. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? We don't need to make an appointment, and we can come to him at any time. And so he sees his people. He's filled with compassion. And this highlights to another thing, which is my next point, that we are needy people. And I want to point out two different needs. And I want to place them in the order as they appear in the text. Listen to verse 11. When the crowds learned it, they followed him, and he welcomed them. And what is the first thing that he does? And spoke to them of the kingdom of God and cured those who had need of healing. Can we see we are needy people, and we have needs, and we have two kinds of needs. We have a spiritual need and we have physical needs. And they both go kind of together. But I wanna make a case that the spiritual need comes first. You need to be aware that your soul needs to be fed, and that is primary, and then your other physical needs. We cannot forsake the physical. We cannot. James warns of that. This is like, oh, if someone comes and asks for help, don't just say, just pray and just go on your merry way. And no, we are supposed to help. But what is the first thing that Jesus does? He spoke to them of the kingdom of God. Now, if you go to Matthew 14, when it speaks about they were like sheep without a shepherd. And then what does Jesus do? He feeds the sheep. He feeds the sheep. He tells them of the kingdom of God. He preaches to them. And so I want to make the case that this right now, what is happening right now, as you hear God's word, your soul needs this more than what you think that you do. We need to be constantly be submitting ourselves under the feeding of our souls. We need to love God's word, meditate on God's word. We need to pray. We need to all these spiritual needs. We start there. I truly believe that as we get close to God, he gives us guidance for everything else in our lives. And that's not in no way to neglect the real physical needs that we have. But we start with, Lord, feed my soul. Lord, help me. And it starts with praying with the means of grace. We come Sunday by Sunday. I feel, I was sharing this. It seems to me that sometimes, I don't know if it is a generational thing or if it's just a modern phenomenon, but it seems to me that church has lost some of its weight on people's calendars. It seems that it can be an alternative. I can go or not go to church. It seems like, I don't know, growing up, you had to be losing a leg in order not to miss to miss church. It is not an option. Now, these days, it seems like, oh, let's go hiking and let's do this on the Sunday. It's the Lord's Day. Your soul needs to be fed. It is even in the fellowship with the saints that you're built up, you're encouraged, you heard some needs today, and you can pray for brothers and sisters during the need. Your soul needs to be fed. And so we have deep spiritual needs. I was really debating if I should say this or not, but I do want to say it, and it comes from love. I promise you, as one of your shepherds that cares for you, my sheep, I'm worried about our prayer meetings, brothers and sisters. We have 140 members. Only 10 people ended the prayer evening. And I am sure that there are other valid reasons why you maybe couldn't come. But not just for our sake, but for your sake, we need to pray. We need to pray. We need to pray. We need to come. This is not an enterprise or a company. This is a spiritual endeavor that can only happen with God's hand helping us, not by human needs, not by human effort. It is God. And so I want to encourage us to pray, whether it's 6 o'clock in the morning on Zoom with your pajama, or early here at 8 o'clock. Brothers and sisters, we need to pray. We have a deep spiritual need. But then there is also a physical need. They had diseases. They came and they needed healing. It says that they spoke to them of the kingdom of God and cured those who had need of healing. And let us be honest, our physical needs are, our lists are big. Isaac, you have no idea. You're probably right. I don't. There are people that are looking for work, struggling with diseases, medical bills, rents behind, payments behind, all sorts of physical needs. And those are real. Those keep you at night. And the disciples go on to identify other needs. So not just of healing, but look at what it says in verse 12. Now the day began to wear away, and the 12 came and said to him, "Send the crowd away to go into the surrounding villages and countryside to find lodging and get provisions, for we are here in a desolate place." The disciples identify another need, another physical need. It's like, Jesus, this is a desolate place. They need to eat something and they need somewhere to sleep. So the disciples identify a need. And I think they are right in identifying this need. I think this comes maybe from a similar place to Jesus' compassion. Like, Lord, they have these needs. that need to be met. They need food. They identify these needs. Now, I want to put a break here. I think that we are very good at identifying needs. I think if we were to ask, go interviewing the room and asking the two questions, what does South Africa need? Oof, the list would be long. What does the church need? The list would be long. The disciples identify the need. Now, interesting enough, they don't want to be part of the direct solution to the need. Isn't it? He's like, send them away. And Jesus corrects him. He's like, no, you be part of the solution. You feed them. Look at what Jesus says to them. You gave them something. You give them something to eat. I think sometimes it's like that, isn't it? We can raise awareness of this needs to be done. 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 Will you do it? What did the disciples propose? Send them away. I think, you know, the need, the identifying of the need was right, but the solution was not. Send them away. Part of me wanted to say, like, disciples, you have just experienced yourselves a bunch of miraculous things. You drove out demons. You healed people. And now you want to send people away from the one that can do anything. You want to send them away. If you go to Matthew's gospel says that Jesus replied, they need not to go away. And so for us, anything going away from Jesus is not a good thing. Lean in. He is able to provide and he's able to do immeasurably more than what we think or ask for. Jesus is the one that provides for our needs. Do not go away. Do not run away. Go towards him. Jesus, everything is falling apart. My marriage is falling apart. My business is falling apart. All of this, do not run away. Let's say, go to Jesus. Say, Lord, help me. Help me. I cannot do this on my own. Do not go away. Jesus says, no, do not send them away. Jesus wasn't done with them. I went and checked. There are times that Jesus sends crowds away, but it is after he's kind of dealt with them. So Jesus meets our needs. This is our last point. He said to them, you give them something to eat. They say, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish unless we are to go and buy food for all these people. Now, if you read the other Gospels, it's very interesting. So the Gospel of John says that Jesus was talking to Philip, if you look, and saying, Philip, how are we going to feed all these people? But the Gospel of John says Jesus knew what he was going to do. In Matthew, he asked the following questions. What do you have? What do you have? Disciples, what do you have? Could Jesus have fed the 5,000 in a ex nihilo fashion. Now, if you don't know what that word means, ex nihilo is how God created the world. By the power of his word, there was nothing. And God said, let there be, and there was. Yeah, Jesus could have just like made bread appear. But he chooses not to. He goes and asks, what do you have? What do you have? And he goes and multiplies. He lets the disciples be part of this. Notice that the miracle comes from Jesus' hands. Now they go and find out, and the Gospel of John tells us that it's a boy. It's a little boy that comes and has five loaves and two fishes. And Jesus asks, what do you have? And the disciples are thinking, initially, like, we, not even 200 denarii, which was like 7 months' wages, would be enough to feed all these people. How are we going to do this? What do you have? God can use from what you have, from the little. Sometimes we want to make the jump too big. But start with what you have. God is the one that gives the growth, and God is the one that multiplies it. The miracle happens in his hands. The fact that we are here today in 2026, in this building, worshiping together with chairs and all of this, at some point seemed impossible. Did you know that? In 2010, I believe, you know, when there were the talks about the church plant, Pastor Charles told me there were meetings that people said, it's not possible. How are we going to plant a church, another church? Where are the funds? How are we going to do this? What do you have? Let us not, and I'm not advocating for recklessness or no administration or no. No. But what I am advocating is for trust in Jesus, faith in him. Because let us be honest, so many times we would stop before even beginning because and we stopped. But yes, it's impossible for us, but not for Jesus. He can do whatever. And so Jesus goes and spreads them in groups of 50. And taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing over them. Jesus prays. And it was probably, it's called a berakah. This is probably the prayer that Jesus said, which speaks about God's provision to his creatures. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. Jesus goes and feeds, and they are all satisfied. And Jesus collects 12 baskets filled with broken pieces. Doesn't let anything go to waste. And in a sense, you can clearly see that there's a lesson here for the disciples who didn't know how we're going to feed all of these people. Now Jesus is like, Look, and you even have travel food. There's 12 baskets left over. One for each of you. Jesus meets our needs. I asked AI the following question, just to put your mind at ease. AI does not write my sermons, okay? I write my own sermons. But I asked AI the following question: what is humanity's deepest need? And this was the answer I got. There is no single consensus. The answer depends on the lens through which you view human nature. So there is, and then there's a couple of lenses that it gave me. Connection and belonging, that's the social lens. Meaning and purpose, the existential lens. Survival and security, the biological lens. Self-actualization and growth, the psychological lens. Transcendence, the spiritual lens. Now, you know what is interesting? That as I look at each of them, Jesus meets all of them. I would even add our need for redemption and forgiveness, because sin messes up everything. And we have transgressed against a holy God, and we need to be forgiven and loved and adopted. And Jesus goes to the cross and dies there and meets even that need. He meets all our needs. So I want to end with Jesus' words, just further down, if you continue to read chapter 9. After the crowd the following day comes back, Jesus says, "Truly, truly," in verse 26. I'm just trying to see if it's of chapter 9. Or is it Mark? I might have, it is just further down the passage, but let me just read it to you. Listen, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." You got a free lunch. You were well fed. Now you want more. "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they say to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." In verse 33, "For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They say to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Only Jesus can satisfy and meet our needs. Let us pray. Oh Lord, I thank you that we can bring our needs to you. Thank you that you know, you see. And I pray for those even right now that are really struggling, that they feel crushed, maybe overwhelmed by all the needs that they have. I thank you that Christ enables us to carry on day by day And thank you that Jesus sustains us. Thank you that he meets our needs. Thank you that in all things, God works together for the good of those who love him. Thank you that Christ died on the cross and paid for our sins, and we stand forgiven before a holy God and have eternal life. We can enjoy Christ forever. Thank you, O Lord. Help us not to go away, but to run towards Christ, to run to Christ, to present our requests before you. Thank you that your word promises that you meet our needs, that you fill us with a peace of God that surpasses all understandings, guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the sermon. Find out more about Central Baptist Church at www.central.org.za.